Thanks, Annalise. Thanks, Jackson. If you'd like to keep the Bible open at Galatians 4, we're thinking here about the purpose of Christmas. Now, I reckon if you were to ask, well, what is the purpose of Christmas? What's it for? I reckon if you were just to take a survey of the average Kiwi family or families, you might have them say, well, Christmas is an opportunity for family. Some might say it's an opportunity for rest, a break from work, praise God. Some might say it's an opportunity to give gifts. If you're younger, you might say it's an opportunity to get gifts. For many, an opportunity to celebrate, of course. And wonderful to be able to celebrate Jesus Christ. For others, a time to eat, drink and be merry. Even amidst the hard times in life, Christmas does provide opportunities that are good, doesn't it? Opportunities for us all. But I want to put it to you this morning that the greatest opportunity comes from looking at God's purpose for Christmas. What is God's purpose for Christmas? Well, thrillingly, this little paragraph in Galatians tells us what God's purpose for Christmas is, and it indicates that it involves you. Let's dive straight into it. I'm going to focus really on the last three verses, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, but we read it all to get its context. There's heaps going on in Galatians. We're really just going to focus on the last little part there. And I just hope we'll do three simple things. See God's purpose, appreciate it, and then come to consider how it does involve you, us. Let's see God's purpose. And it's clear from Galatians 4, verse 4, that we're talking about Christmas because he says, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Here's the Christmas reference. When Jesus was born of Mary, Paul doesn't notice, go back to Matthew's gospel and dwell on the details and circumstances, because his aim is to take a step further forward and help us think about the purpose of why God sent his son. And it's also clear, just by the by, that we're talking about purpose because of the time reference there in verse 4. Did you notice? When the set time had fully come. Like this is indicating that all of history has been waiting for this moment with bated breath, like on the edge of their seat. It's now. The set time has fully come now. God's purposes are about to be fully unravelled and worked out in the most wonderful way. Do you read history much? We often don't think about history in that sort of big picture sense very often. Well, here's a little reference. When the set time had fully come, everything's prepared, everything's ready. Now God, well, what does he do? He sends his son, born of Mary. Notice that little phrase, God sent his son, born of a woman. That's indicating that the son was alive before he was even born. Do you notice that? It's picking up on a few weeks ago we talked about Emmanuel, God, come to be with us. Jesus Christ is fully divine. He's always been the eternal Son. And then in the middle of history, when the time had come, he was born of Mary, taking full humanity into his same person. Oh, it's thrilling. We'll talk about Jesus' person another day. But see in verse 5, God's purpose. In fact, there's a double purpose here. And the second builds upon the first. God's first purpose, let's look to that. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, verse 5, to redeem. In God's mind, why Christmas? To redeem. To redeem people. To redeem those under the law. To rescue people who need rescuing. It's sad to admit this, but when I go to the supermarket, you know, do you take a list when you go to the shops? I take a list. And on the list, you know, I get some of the things that we need. I get some of the things that we don't need. And I often turn up home with some of the, not with the things that we really did need. Ouch. Jesus has one item on his list when he comes. It's to redeem, it's to rescue people. He comes to rescue people who are otherwise under the judgment of God's law and facing an eternal future away from God, away from everything good, condemned and cut off. He completes the work of redemption by dying on the cross. And we learn from other parts of Galatians and the Bible that his death on the cross is to bear the judgment and the condemnation for sins in the place of people. so that all who look to him are not cut off from God, but they're forgiven, favoured. Or here the word is redeemed. What a word. We love that word. We love that idea about Jesus. We call our church Redeemer Church because we want everyone to look to him for the help we all need. To redeem is God's first and most fundamental purpose, to provide for your forgiveness and mine. But now we learn there's a second. Have a look at that verse again, verse 5. And this one builds upon the first. The first one is the most foundational, but now we find a second, more ultimate or final purpose for God sending his son. It says that God sent his son first to redeem, so that, second purpose, we might receive adoption to sonship. It's saying that God's ultimate aim is for redeemed people to be adopted as God's sons and daughters. Wow. Does that thrill you? It should. He sends his son so that many might become his sons and daughters. Do you see where we're getting this from in the verse there? When he sent Jesus, he did so with you in mind. He intends to involve you, to see you redeemed and to see you adopted into his worldwide family of believers. You're caught up in this Christmas purpose. And if you've never seen it before, it's stunning. And even if you have seen it before, I think it never ceases to lose its thrill. It thrills me. Well, we've seen this purpose from our passage. Let's think now about appreciating it. Christmas is a time to appreciate. We want to appreciate this purpose by asking, well, what does God's adoption involve and why is it so special? On a human level, you know what adoption is. It's when a set of parents offer to take a child born to others and to raise that child as their very own, precious and loved. Technically, adoption refers to transfer of legal responsibility. But more than that, it means welcomed into a loving family. Adoption is such a beautiful thing. You know, now we learn that's what God's doing. Adoption is what God loves to do. He loves to see people saved out of slavery to sin and adopted as sons. He loves to see people rescued from that kind of gnawing guilt of judgment and saved into life as daughters of God. Have you ever heard of a guy called J.I. Packer? He wrote a book ages ago called Knowing God. I read that, the chapter on adoption this week. It's wonderful. Read it for yourselves if you get a chance. He says, as we think about why adoption is so special, he says, there is no higher privilege for a Christian person than to be adopted into God's own family. There's no higher privilege that a Christian can have than to call God Father. Think about that for a second. No higher privilege. There are lots of privileges about being a Christian. Lots of benefits, lots of wondrous blessings that come. The most profound is to have a warm, active, close relationship with God and to call God Father. Is this you? You'll know if it is. You'll have love for Jesus, your Redeemer, who died in your place. You'll have the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead at work in you, prompting you to say, yes, God, you're my Father. Do you know, I visited a lady in her 90s yesterday, and I just showed her this little verse in Galatians and encouraged her with the same point. You know, what a privilege to be able to call God Father. She's been a Christian a long time, and she said, oh, yes, God is my Father in heaven. She said it with tears in her eyes. So moving is this wondrous reality. And she said it with a sense of sort of peace and lasting joy. This is the kind of high privilege that never loses its brightness, no matter how short or how long you've trusted in Christ. it's both the highest of privilege and it's the deepest change in identity a person can ever receive. Did you know that? When you think to yourself, well, who am I? What does it mean to be me? I've got a family, I've grown up in a country, of multiple countries, I do this job, Do you know the deepest identity a person can have is to be called a child of God? Galatians 3, we didn't sort of talk too much about, but from verse 26 to the end of the chapter there, it talks about all the other possible sort of identity markers that people might have, ethnicity or who I work for or even gender. And here what it's saying is, no, your deepest identity is to be in Christ, to be one who trusts in him, to be a child of God. God's purpose is for you to become his beloved children. God sent his son born of Mary to redeem you and so that you might receive adoption to sonship. Do you know, this is the kind of gold we discover in the Bible. And it's worth talking about, not just for minutes, but for hours. But okay, we'll stop here. Let's move and think, how does this involve us? And the obvious question to ask is, are you a child of God? Are you? Has the Lord Jesus redeemed you? She said, yes, awesome. Has the Lord Jesus redeemed you through his sin-bearing death? Have you received adoption to be God's very own? And you'll know the answer instinctively because the Spirit of God, do you notice there in chapter 4, verse 6, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that we might cry, just like Jesus cries, Abba, Father. Is that you? Or are you far off from God? Or are you holding God at arm's length? Do you know the Bible tells of a son that was doing that? He blew things with his father. He mucked things up entirely in his own life and he found himself in the pit. And that same son eventually figured to himself, even though I've blown things with Dad, still better off at home working as a hired hand than in the pit. And it says that when he was still far off, the dad was watching for him. And ran to him and embraced him and loved him and forgave his costly mistakes that cost that father dearly and welcomed him back into the family as a beloved son. That's what God's like. Do you know him? Do you know God as Father like that? Do you know, now's an opportunity, now's a moment for you to call God Father. To quietly pray and to acknowledge your former distance from him and to ask God to draw you near. God's purpose is that you would be numbered amongst his family. Would you like to take him up on this morning? I encourage you to. This is how this wondrous purpose involves you if you're far off from God today. Let's think. If you are a child of God, if you have called upon him as Father, well, how does this message involve us today? Well, just one thing. I think this should lead us to exercise our relationship with God. Family relationships are at their best when they're routinely exercised. And so this wondrous truth that you've been adopted as his son and should lead you to love him as your heavenly Father. What does it mean to exercise a relationship with God as your Father? Well, many things. Calling upon him in prayer. Thanking him for his daily provision and care. Learning what pleases him and seeking his help to live to please him as it's possible to do for the Christian. Turning to him when life turns nasty. Seeking his face when we fail him. Asking for his Spirit's strength for challenges big and small. And so on and so on. Like, there are loads of ways that we exercise our relationship with God. Would you say yours is a highly exercised relationship with God? God aims for it to be. In New Zealand, we yearn for good, close family relationships, even if it's just for the briefest of moments. on Christmas Day. You know, God has provided for you to be part of his family, not for a moment, for an eternity. Are you numbered in that family of believers? God sent his son to bring you and make you many of his sons and daughters. Are you in that family? Are you exercising this highest of privilege? I'm going to pray for us, but I will pause and just give you a moment to reflect. So let's just bow our heads for a moment. Now's an opportunity to ask, have I been redeemed? Am I a son, a daughter who calls God Father? Am I able to exercise this relationship with God? So we pray, God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son on that first Christmas, that he might redeem us from sin and bring us, that we might be yours, adopted as sons and daughters. God, help us to draw near to you. And God, help us to exercise this highest of privileges that you've given to us. Thank you, God, for the sure promise of our future, that we are heirs, inheritors of all your blessings. Help us then, Lord, to love and live for you in the present. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.